This is the Tor Eternity Delphi Council Debriefings, where the storm has a name. I am your current singular host, Lehman, but soon we will be joined by Jay and Mark. If you didn't watch last episode, this is the intro to the intro that I kind of did similar last episode, but to catch anybody else up to date who didn't hear that one. Basically, I made a too long video. Hour and 30 minutes. Normally I try to keep these around an hour. Sometimes it goes a little bit short, sometimes it goes a little bit further or more, and I just didn't want an hour and a half as an episode, so I sliced the email part, and that's what will be coming here. And then the episode for Cyberware, the last episode, is a little bit more in that hour time range. Having said that, you can always email us at torgdcd@gmail.com, and we'll get those emails, and we'll sometimes spend a good bit of time trying to explain and give ideas and stuff to the best of our abilities. Having said that, hopefully you enjoy this week's episode. Hello, this is the Torg Eternity Delphi Council Debriefings, where the storm has a name. We are your hosts, Lehman, Jay, and Mark, and today we will be getting back into cyberware with prosthetics. But before we do that, we have an email that we wanted to go over. This is from Frank, and it is about DCD 20 Living Land. So it says, "Hi, fellow Torg fans. I am in the process of watching all your great shows about Torg and just want to thank you for what you are doing there. So welcome to the DCD. If you're around 20, you have a ways to go, but we would like to hear from you whenever you have questions." So it says, "Especially your take on the Living Land gave me some fresh ideas on how to treat my players. I got an..." Yeah, I'm pausing for pronunciation. Eidonos. I'm going to go with that today. Optant.
You
in
do
my,
you.
In my regular group, who has met Lenala herself with the glory of faith on faith. Watching your show, I got the idea to have Lenala appear again the next time he is praying, which will probably be a missed combat. And instead of helping him, she will take him away from combat and ask him about the new sensations he has accumulated during his travels outside the Living Land. This led to thoughts about other characters, a monster hunter, a rocket ranger, and an AI in an android body. They are currently at the beginning of Revenge of the Caradon in Oxford, and there will surely be some gentleman from Aurorsch who invites the monster hunter to give a lecture about his latest findings about monsters. They met a nightmare and managed to defeat it, but have still not found everything out about it, so it is destined to come back stronger than, and they destroyed a nightmare tree. But I have still no idea how to give the Rocket Ranger and the AI their moments to shine. Any thoughts? Thank you from Germany, Frank." By the way, not the Frank whose letter you published in an earlier episode, but also a Torg player and GM since the start of original Torg. So thank you very much, new Frank, for writing us. And let's talk about some ideas for Rocket Rangers and AIs in an android body. So, Mark, did you have any thoughts about either Rocket Rangers and or AIs?
Yeah, I got a little bit for both. I've been playing an AI in the Pan Pacifica Operation Soft Cell, and really like the concept. It's a lot of fun. I'm having fun with how it's growing on me. But for specifically, and I like what Frank is doing here, because I like to do this when I'm running a long term campaign. Is every player gets a subplot in the game that's specific to them that is, as he puts it, their moment to shine. So your AI player, the things that jump out to me right off the bat, something in Kerr, something in the Godnet. Nobody wants to go to Kerr, so make the AI go to Kerr. There might be some significant risk for the AI in these in Kerr, or jacking into Pan Pacifica's net, that they haven't thought about prior to this, right? Kerr's kind of, well, I mean, it's dark territory, and it's for everybody outside of Tharkold, it's kind of unknown territory, right? Godnet is Godnet, and that's Cyber Papacy is where the AI is from, so probably pretty used to going into the Godnet. But what if Jack Priests have figured out how to override your AI and insert viruses and worms? You know, so you got, whereas out in the world, human beings and people get sick and get colds and whatnot. You go into the Godnet, and all of a sudden the AI brought something out with him or her. And so you have like an AI virus that's causing problems, not just for the AI, but anytime they get near, you know, think Harry Dresden, wizards get near electronics, and they don't, electronics and the wizards in the Dresden world don't interact well. What if all of a sudden the AI starts shorting things out and they can't figure out why? That would run havoc on some of the tech in your game, and cause problems. What if somebody's figured out how to insert AI into holograms, and the holograms are just hard? They got a hard light hologram emitter, and they're walking around now instead of being in android bodies, something like that. And then let's get into, if you want to get into the politics of it a little bit, are AIs people? Do they get rights? What kind of rights do they get? Does Core Earth recognize them? Cyber Papacy, Pan Pacifica, you know, can they own stuff in Pan Pacifica, or are they just, you know, slaves to whoever wrote them or whatever? How does that work? You know, so explore that however it works out for you. On the Rocket Rangers, the Rocket Rangers as a group, they are the Rocket Rangers, right? But what does that mean in your world, in your cosm? What do the Rangers do? Do they occasionally, because your Rocket Ranger is a Rocket Ranger, not a former Rocket Ranger, do they occasionally go tap them on the shoulder and say, hey, we need you to go do Rocket Ranger official stuff over here? And now you have to go, you got a side quest, or they have to balance their official responsibilities. What are their official responsibilities? Are they old school Texas Rangers that have, you know, law enforcement powers? Are they just, you know, Rocket Ranger? Because they don't just give them the suit and say, okay, go do what you want, right? How do they earn the suit? Because you don't just show up and say, I'd like to be a Rocket Ranger, and they go, okay, here's your Mark One suit, go for it. And now they bounce, and, you know, that's the Rocketeer, which is fun. But at any rate, you know, what do they do? How do they recruit? Every now and then, do they, you know, your beta tier Rocket Ranger? Okay, we need you to go recruit 4 new Rocket Rangers. Go find us 4 Rocket Rangers. And now you have to, this is a lot of work for the GM, but now you have to go sprinkle in NPCs with a sub trait on them of where do they fall on the suitability for a rocket, what's the qualification to be a Rocket Ranger, what are the recruits have to be, blah blah blah. Sidekicks, I mean, you're in the Nile Empire with superpowers, sidekicks are a thing. Give your Rocket Ranger a sidekick that they all of a sudden have to take care of, which I think that's a perk somewhere, but if it's not, maybe it should be. I mean, that's a follower essentially. But sidekicks are a thing. And then you've got a Rocket Ranger suit. So what if the Q, to steal from James Bond, what if the Q for the Rocket Rangers comes over and says, hey, I have new rocket boots, I want you to test these out for me here. Or if you want to really channel some fun, channel paranoia and give them some mostly finished tech. And we're pretty sure it does this stuff, but go figure out what it does for us. And they get all kinds of add-ons to their suit that, you know, if they have a mishap, all of a sudden it does this, it starts doing really bad stuff, or it does stuff that's unexpected, and they get to roll some other skill sets to see how that goes. This is some ideas that I kicked out.
Jay, do you have anything for Rocket Rangers and or AIs?
So for the Rocket Ranger, I get a lot of it will depend on what kind of Rocket Ranger they are, as Mark kind of alluded to, because if memory serves, I believe most of the actual Terran Rocket Rangers were wiped out, and most of the Rocket Rangers are actually like the spouses and kids, like family members or close friends of those Rocket Rangers who took on their armor and came to Core Earth to kind of avenge them. I might be misremembering this, but I'm pretty sure that was sort of the thing.
I'm liking where you're going, though. That's cool.
You could still be an original Rocket Ranger, right? Which were part of the Terran U.S. military.
Mm-hmm.
But so, like Mark said, like they do have a chain of command in theory that they, if you're an actual Rocket Ranger who was in the Rocket Ranger Corps, then you are part of the military and have a chain of command. You've probably been seconded to the Delphi Council, though, so that's easily explained. If you're not, then you're kind of a vigilante using a Rocket Ranger suit, which makes you a pulp hero, which means the thing that all pulp heroes desire most of all is a reoccurring villain. So what you need is, keeping in mind in Revenge of the Caradon, they're going to be in Isle the whole time, so you're going to want some kind of recurring villain that can come up a lot. And without going into too many spoilers, I think the first act, or actually, which act is it? Let me double check here. It's the Viking act, you know. that one has a potential to bring back recurring villains that you can encounter time and time again. But I would do that for Revenge of the Caradon and get some aerial battles. Isle is probably the most aerial battle, you know, positive realm that you can be in. So a Rocket Ranger will have a lot of stuff they can do. But as far as like a specific plot point, because like Mark said, it's good to have a subplot for each character that you can follow. But you don't want it to take away too much, especially if you're doing like a very, you know, like a mega adventure where it's going to be like, okay, we're going to be going here, 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 especially if there's like a time limit, which is kind of implied in this one. But yeah, having a reoccurring villain that can fly, that the Rocket Ranger has to deal with all the time. And you can also kind of juxtapose the whole light darkness with hero villain thing with that as well, and kind of like show how Nile and Isle are similar but different. Mm-hmm. As far as the AI goes, that one also really kind of depends on where they're from. I guess the assumption is we're talking about a Cyber Papal AI, but in theory it could be from Tharkold. I don't think AIs would be advanced enough in Pan Pacifica to be like a character, so the odds are it would be from Cyber Papacy.
The archetype is Cyber Papacy, though.
Yeah, so there's a specific archetype, that's right. So I kind of pretty much agree with what Mark said. Explore the Godnet, explore Kerr. It would be kind of a different situation because the Kerr, the way I always explain the Kerr, it's just that the cloud is in hell. But if you go in there as an AI, you might actually be much more advantaged than anybody else and able to run rings around other people there. But on the other hand, it could be dangerous as well, because can you even jack out the Kerr or the Godnet? You know, it's always a question you have to ask there. Can you get an emitter body? These are all big questions. But the real thing with sticking in Revenge of the Caradon is, what are you going to do in Isle? And Isle's kind of a dangerous thing, I would think, for an AI. Like, if you disconnect, what happens to you, right?
Or transform.
You could turn into a magic construct or something, right?
Oh, I think that's what it would be, yeah.
Yeah, so there's a lot of ways that can go, too, especially with, like, when you start introducing magic and the law of enchantment into things as well. Because, like, do you have a body? I didn't look up the archetype before we started, so I don't really remember too much. But without going into too many spoilers, there is a mad inventor at one point that you can encounter in Revenge of the Caradon, and he might be able to do some interesting things with you. And perhaps you might find some other things you could do, like transfer your consciousness into clankers or something like that. There's all kinds of crazy things. So I hope you know, those give some ideas. I don't really have a strong one for the AI, unfortunately.
Yeah, no, I agree with both of you on a lot of those suggestions. I was wanting to bring up the aerial stuff for the Rocket Ranger. A lot of times in games, game masters tend to not like people who can fly because they can just fly over obstacles.
Break stuff.
But if you have your obstacles in the air, and there are places in Revenge of the Caradon where that is something, bring up those spatial aspects of, you know, it's not just left, right, forward, back. You have up, you have down, and bring in some stuff like that. Have them kind of hone their flight ability or make certain things only accessible for that Rocket Ranger or easier for that Rocket Ranger to do. Completely agree with you. Got to figure out who the or what the Rocket Ranger organization is and how that character fits into it. Have they been loaned out to the Delphi Council? Have they inherited their, you know, armor from a dead parent or spouse or brother or something like that?
Or did they steal it?
Did they steal it and just start pretending like in our other game? The AI, again, that a lot of good thoughts with Godnet viruses as a disease that can affect an AI, like a, you know, biological disease could affect a person. Being in the android body with those disconnects, I could see that going south, and then the transformation. I was definitely thinking Clanker along that time, where, you know, if you transform, you might be an intelligent Clanker, or if you go into the Godnet or Kerr, you know, is it easy for you to get back into that android body, or if you can switch to a hard light emitter or need something else, is all interesting things. The other thing with AI that I would probably, and this would be something to encourage from you, or I would suggest encouraging from your player, to like not try to act like a human, but act like an AI trying to act like a person. So maybe you get idioms a little off, or your logic doesn't fit how humans would react, because
your fingers don't look right.
Your fingers don't look right. You hold your fingers wrong or something.
Why don't you have six fingers?
Or what I was kind of thinking is, you know, speech wise, and then if you know, this AI is learning, it could maybe you know, you asked let them shine, so maybe there's some villain disguised through spell, you know, magic or something, pretending to be something they're not. Maybe their speech pattern, you know, as this is totally out of my mind, not a from Revenge of the Caradon, but I know Vikings are in it. So maybe you have somebody that appears to be a court noble, everybody thinks so, but your AI has met Vikings, you've talked to Vikings and stuff, and at this court section, there's a hidden Viking. But the person talking, your AI, allow them to have the find or the evidence analysis that, hey, this person doesn't sound like a court noble. They're really trying to, but their speech inflection and stuff is more Vikingish. You know, allowing them to do that, but then maybe give them a penalty when somebody says some idiom that makes no sense logically. they just say something and have them kind of misunderstand what's going on and that. So that's kind of what I would probably do with the AI, is bring in just the difference. Don't just try to have them be a human and call them an AI. Actually try to think of this AI as trying to learn, trying to figure out stuff. And they're going to be a little off in some ways, but they're going to notice other things. Bring that. And the Rocket Ranger, like I said, I really think bringing up the spatial stuff. And maybe they'll meet somebody in Isle, a good person, an ally that can fly, to give them a few pointers, and, you know, like, hey, this is how we do it with wings. Maybe you could do it similar with your jetpack thing, you know, type stuff. So hopefully, Frank, that will give you some ideas for both within Revenge of the Caradon as well as outside for those two characters. And thank you again for listening.